Welcome to Unfiltered Talk, where nothing is off the table and where we get the dirty, unfiltered, uncensored details from your favorite spicy creators. Unfiltered Talk is officially sponsored by unfiltered.com, the platform for creators by creators, where you can monetize and sell just about anything, even a jar of farts. I'm your host, Stephanie Maddow. Let's get unfiltered. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Unfiltered Talk, where we get unfiltered with our guests and talk about anything and everything from fart jars to whatever the hell. Today, we have a really special guest. We have the infamous Jason Vest, a.k.a. Poopy Turds McGee. And so, Jason, I'd love for you to do a little intro. Tell us about you. Tell us what you're up to, what you're known for, what you do.
All right. Well, it all started. I was in the military for 20 years, and I was a recruiter for the National Guard. And I got out of the military, and I decided I wanted to get into entertainment. So I started making videos, and I started doing hair tutorials, believe it or not. I used to have long hair down in the middle of my back. I have gorgeous curly hair, and I used to help people take care of their curly hair. And I have hair tutorials. You can find them on the internet. I help people get their curls right. And then people were like, hey, you should start doing comedy. Because I had a following of people from, I have curl friends and what we call them.
Yeah.
So I had my online curl friends for about 2 years. And then I started doing stand-up comedy. And then the curl friends started coming to shows. And my following, my name on the internet is Poopy Turds McGee, but that was never supposed to be that way. I was working for the government and I was doing background investigations.
Yeah.
And so I had gotten out of the military and that was my creeper account. So when somebody had said like, oh, I'd never done smoked marijuana, and I would go and try to look and see if I could find pictures of them with like things like that. That was my job at the time.
This was your troll name for like,
and so
But
I wrote a song for Squatty Potty, the poop stool.
Yeah, I love a Squatty Potty.
Pick your knees up when you poop. It's the thing for me and you. I wrote that.
That's
no
amazing.
Way.
I wrote that. Pick your knees up when you take a dump, girl. You just have to trust it will be much easier for you.
I know this song.
I
have a Squatty Potty. I actually think I bought it after I heard that. I used to laugh, but I was like, if they can make me laugh, I want their product.
But that's like the first thing I did that went viral. And so Squatty Potty shared it, and these comedians out of Los Angeles that I listened to their podcast, these two comedians, Jessica Michelle Singleton and Nicole Amy Schreiber, they're Comedy Store comics. And they shared it. That went viral. And because I wrote it for them. And then I just kept doing comedy and it never stopped. And then I stopped making videos for a little bit. But then as soon as I hired a writing coach and I started, I wasn't getting booked to do shows a lot because everyone's like, this guy's weird and he's old. So I started putting content out on the internet and it blew up again. And then my comedy career kind of took off because it's about fans and followers and people on the internet. Like, people won't mess with you or give you the time of day unless you can sustain an audience on the internet. They don't.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty amazing. It's like you've lived so many different lives.
How old were you around when like that took off for you comedy wise?
40, 44.
I feel like in the comedy, like, field, it's very much so like a lot of people just take off later. It's like you do a couple things and then
I think a lot of it too, if you're lucky enough like I am, I've got the military peeps, they come to the plate. And so like when I hosted the butthole contest and when I did all of those things, all of those veterans are the people that came to the plate to support me. And so there's a lot of people in entertainment doing this, but there's not a lot of people that talk about that, hey, I did this before this.
Yeah.
Like Max's mom from Stranger Things is a retired Navy person.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She was in the Navy for 20 years. And so she follows me on the internet. So like all the military celebrities that have found me, they'll share the stuff. They'll be like, I'm grossed out by it. But
but I'll support.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, because you and I met for the first time at the Michigan's Prettiest Butthole Contest. And this whole event has gained so much traction online, so much notoriety. How did you get the gig to be the host of it all?
All an accident. So someone I worked with sent me the flyer and they're like, hey, you need to write a joke about this butthole contest. And I'm like, this can't be real. So I make a TikTok and I say, hire me to host. And but this is like a little bit of an internet nerdery, right? I did some research to see who else had made those videos, and no one had made them. So I was like, all right, this needs to go out now because I'll be the first one. And I was like the first one. And so that video went viral, and 600 people called Deja Vu and said, hire stuff to host, because I started talking about my time when I was like a drunk. I used to be a bad alcoholic. I used to go to strip clubs all the time. And that was like my place. And so I would talk about that. So I was like, that was rising. And then the butthole contest. And then everyone's like, we want to see this man host this butthole contest. And then I started using my platform to talk about, like, right immediately, I started talking about, like, veteran mental health issues and things like that. Like, I'm like, some good's got to come of this. And so I started getting followers from that end of it. And then it was the butthole stuff. And then people were like, I don't really like anything that you say, but I like the story. And so...
You have the craziest niche ever. Like veterans, buttholes.
Poop. Women's feet.
It's crazy. And curly hair.
Yes. The hair. Yeah.
Those girlfriends, those day ones, those are the ones that are like, we support this dude. Yeah. I got a Texas girlfriend meeting up with us later today.
Texas girlfriend.
That's amazing.
Oh. Yeah, I cut the hair and they kept following.
Damn. They're probably like secretly hoping that you grow your hair out though.
Oh, that's a pain in the ass, ladies.
I can't even imagine it though. Like, I can't imagine you as long.
I have more hair products than my wife.
Jeez. Oh my God. Well, I think it's pretty amazing that your life has come full circle, that, like, you know, you're drinking, partying at strip clubs. Now you're getting paid to go to strip clubs and host butthole events. And so the Michigan's prettiest butthole event, I was there. Things that I can't unsee. And so for you, you know, what was your overall impression of the night? And did you think that the person who won really truly deserved it?
I was hoping a guy would win, ladies. I'm sorry. I tried to make it as, you know, inclusive as possible to everyone. And I knew a bunch of dudes were going to enter it. Like, I knew it. Melissa and I were like, hey, this is about the guys. This is what's going to make this thing funny. Like, like, this is, and so, like, I really thought Pork Chop was going to win, the guy with the butt plug in.
Mm.
I thought he was going to win for sure. Or the guy that glittered his butthole. I mean, come on.
He's probably shitting glitter for weeks after
those
that.
Dudes showed up to a butthole contest with a pit bull and a gas grill. They were tailgating out in the parking lot. So, like, before you got there, they brought a dog with them. Like a freaking pit bull on a chain, and they were cooking brats in the back. And this
where was the dog during the show, though?
Yeah, that's my
I don't know. He must have been in the truck, but they literally had a whole group of people, and I think that woman literally glittered that man's butthole in the parking lot.
Dazzled.
Oh my God. And so, like, I was there. I saw the things. I smelled the things.
Oh, so nasty.
So nasty. Like, how would, like, to people listening, how would you describe the smell of that room that night?
It was rough. I don't think I've smelled anything that bad, because it was just like, and I didn't expect that. So, like, I'm thinking, nah, everybody's going to take care of their shit. No.
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 You'd think for a butthole contest that they'd wash up a little.
Yeah. Like a wet wipe or something.
No. Well, did you remember the one guy that entered, showed his butthole, and then just walked right off stage and kept on going out of the building? There was a guy that entered it, and then he just said, I can't do this. This is, like, too much. Because there was people leaving. So as there was a line to get out of the building, I think people, I don't know what they expected.
Yeah.
This is not what I expected. What the fuck did you expect? It is a butthole contest in Lansing, Michigan.
It's exactly how you'd expect it in Lansing, Michigan. Right? So
it was gross.
We didn't get the buttholes we wanted, but we got the buttholes we probably deserved.
Yeah.
And so like, my other question for you, sorry for all the butthole questions, but you're the butthole expert.
Yeah.
Look, the butthole whisperer.
I love it.
Perfect.
Got three of them.
Three of them. Okay. You need to send us the other two so we can be in a club together. The butthole whisperer club.
He says he whispered to my butthole.
He whispered to my left.
Just right above, like, your lower back.
Get that tattoo.
I got something funny for you guys. So I was at Joe Rogan's club last weekend. and I signed up for the open mic. That's like how that works when you're new here. You just go, you got to go through that route. And I did. And someone in the crowd was like, show me your bottle. And they knew who I was.
Oh my God. Did you do
that? I wasn't wearing the shirt.
And did you show your butthole?
I did not. No.
No. But I saw your butthole that night.
I did. I showed it. I kept saying, I'm like, if I get the opportunity, it's coming out. It's my wife's birthday.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, honestly, that moment during the show, like, really just solidified that you are the best possible judge for this, because American Idol judges, they're not getting up there and singing, you know, and you, you participated and you showed people like, this is nothing to be ashamed of. This is natural.
Yeah.
So
all natural.
I really loved it. So like one other question about the buttholes and then we'll move on from the buttholes is, okay, who is your top butthole? Like either a person whose butthole is perfect. You can't say your wife. We know hers is perfect. But like a celebrity whose butthole you think is like, oh my God, top level tier butthole.
I would say top tier butthole, Bunny.
Bunny?
Have you ever heard of Bunny? She's on a podcast. She's all Jelly Roll's wife.
I was going to say it's Jelly Roll's wife, right? She's the one who really like picked him up and got him like.
What, she yeah, did, but she, that butthole, like, she got an OnlyFans.
Wait, oh, I gotta Google her. What? So it's Bunny.
Just Bunny.
Just Bunny.
Bunny, yeah, Bunny XO or something. Yeah. She's got a massive phone.
Because of Jelly Roll.
Okay. Let's see. What I want to. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Have you seen her butthole?
I've seen it like in porn and stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? Yeah.
Don't worry, I never creeped on you. I never did that. So like if I know you, like I know you as a friend, I won't like Lindsay Ryder, I won't go look at her stuff. I don't want to see
it. Yeah, it's too close. Plus, like, look at us. We're so pure. We're in our little Scientology outfits today.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you look like Scientologists.
We really do. As soon as I saw us, like, we look like we're about to invite him into our cult.
In your fold.
Oh my God.
You live in Austin?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you
been? Yeah, in Pflugerville, which is like a suburb just north of Austin.
Okay. How long have you been in Austin for?
We've been there about 4 weeks.
Did you move down for the comedy scene specifically?
We did. So like I want to like do Joe Rogan's club and I want to do, but like how you do those things is you gotta go like ground floor. Like they don't play. You could have 200,000 followers on the internet, or you could have one. The playing field's like equal in those kind of worlds, right? And so you have to go to the open mic, get picked up off of the open mic, and then they go, you want to be a door person. And then as a door person, you're literally taking out garbage. And then you get put up at the end of the night on those shows. Mm-hmm. So like for someone like me, I'm only doing maybe a show a week. I would be doing 7 shows a week. Mm-hmm. So the time that you get, but that's what you got to do. So like everybody's down here, right? That does anything in comedy and they're all trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you considered like Kill Tony for anything? Like
I did really good at the open mic and then they walked me down to Kill Tony to sign up. Mm-hmm. And I filled out the damn consent form wrong. And I put my, I didn't put my Instagram handle. Because the guy said stage name. And I didn't realize. I'm like, I don't have a stage name. And then I should have put my Poopy Turds McGee in it. They would have saw that. They would have picked. Yeah. But there's a lot of people. And I'm telling you, Kill Tony is wild.
I went for the Sam Talent Dr. Phil episode on 9/11 in September. Like, we flew to Texas for it. And it was 10 out of 10 would recommend. We're going to the Madison Square Garden one in August. Me and my boyfriend.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm huge. I love comedy. So that's why
I did a show all the questions. Casey Rocket.
Because I know 6th Street. I know the Vulcan. I know Sunset. I know all the clubs. I got to meet.
Oh, that's cool. I just did a show. We just did a show at Vulcan.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I love it. Red Band. I know he has all that. And it's like Sunset Strip, all of that. We spent a whole week on 6th Street just drinking our way through the comedy clubs, watching everybody do their thing. It was amazing.
And you live too. It's pretty savage on 6th Street.
Yeah.
To live on that street, there's a lot of homeless people. You see a lot of buttholes you don't want to see.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of buttholes.
There.
Yeah, it's lawless. It's pretty wild.
That's crazy. I mean, like, good for you for, like, going down there, pursuing your dreams. Like you said, there's a lot of competition. Is there any like drama or tea in the comic community? Is it like in like the influencer world where like there's, you know, there's feuds?
Oh yeah, everybody hates each other. So like, you know what it is? Like everybody wants to win.
Yeah.
And so like in the comedy world, if you have an internet following, before you're like really, really good, then they hate you. And it's funny because like I go places and I have fans, right? And they're, and I'm like, but it's like nothing's stopping you, dumbass, from making content, like, or making a podcast. Nothing's stopping anybody from doing anything.
Absolutely.
And so, but that, I think that's really the biggest feud right now. And like when I, especially me, because everyone's like, oh, that butthole guy, you know? Ugh, the butthole guy.
They turn their head up at you.
Yeah, but you get it too.
People, the guy that I used to do shows with stopped doing shows with me and was like, he was like, this is going to ruin your career and it's going to kill everything. And I'm like, no,
I absolutely not. And like, listen, there's been comedians that have come out recently where it's like, oh, their career is ruined. Their career is over because of like some internet drama, or they're being canceled for something they said. And so I wanted really your input on that. Like, for example, a few weeks ago, Matt Rife was canceled because of his Netflix special and because some ex-girlfriend said that he didn't like her meat flaps. And like, you know, it's like, I'm wondering, like, do you think comedians can be canceled? And where do you draw the line of like, what's too much?
I think what it is with people is like, okay, I get this all the time because I say a lot of rough shit, right? And everyone's like, you're married. And I'm like, that story couldn't have happened 20 years ago before I was married, you know? Right. And like with Matt Rife and like all this stuff too, it's like, what do you expect? You don't know the person. You only know the words coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
So like everyone saw and what the media wants you to see. So with comedy and the internet, you only see what I want you to see. You're never going to see anything that I don't want you to see. So Matt Rife's stuff was a lot of that crowd work stuff, which is great. It's hard to do. And he's killing these women and these men and all the men and the women. They loved him, right? I'm sorry. Play for the audience. Give them what they want. Give them what they want. When I have 30, 40, 50 people that are coming here to see me and I'm doing a show, I have to tell the booker, hey, I'm going to say some shit you're probably not going to like. But those people are there to see me. And so I'm going to give them what they want. And so I hate to say it as an entertainer. Sometimes, yeah, you might want to do the bro thing. But those aren't the people that are buying tickets to your shows. So I think there's a level of like integrity as an artist. But there's also a level of like stupidity. And so it's like for me, I have a lot of men that send me DMs. I want your pictures. I want this. I want that every day.
Wait. Pictures of your penis?
Every day. Picture penis, butthole. I've had feet. I sent a dude my feet one time.
I know that.
How many times do you get the opportunity to do that in your life? So I'm like,
we'll give you all the opportunities to do that and make money on
come
it.
Come to Unfiltered. You need to come on Unfiltered.
Come to the dark side.
We get it every day. I'm like, where's the OnlyFans? And it's never women. Never. It's all men. And like, and so that would be like me going on the internet going, I don't like being around gay dudes. You know, it would fucking kill me. You know what I mean? So I think with these guys, sometimes it's like you got something that you got to prove, right? Like the masculine shit. I gotta be a bro. No, bro, you don't have to be a bro. You can be everybody's thing.
Yeah, you can appeal to like a wide audience with what you do, if that's what you want to do. Unless you want to be super niche, but that's really I'm still stuck on like that. Guys are asking for your feet pics. Like that's
everything,
and you're sending.
I had to block people.
Oh my God.
They made new accounts to come back. Like, so there's this guy in DC, he works for the government. And I'm like, I will take you out. Like, this needs to stop. And he found my Snapchat. He found my phone number. Like, it was crazy. And he was like, come on, man, one time. And I'm like, no, because you know it's not going to be one time. Because the guy that I sent the feet pics with every once a month, can you get him up? No. That was a one-time deal.
You do some new positions for me.
Can you unwrap a banana with your toes for me, sir?
But see, the weird thing is I'm a feet guy. I'm a foot guy. I'm a foot guy more than I am a butthole guy, lady. diabetes. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you give your wife foot massages every day?
She's got white toes. And when she gets the pedicure, I leave the Yelp review.
That's amazing. That's so good. Well, I'm so happy that you're like honest and open about your fetishes, because I feel like, you know, it's so stigmatized, but I don't think it's a bad thing. Maybe actually what would be really cool is if you and I went on tour to the Deja Vu clubs and we did like the prettiest feet contests.
That's not a bad thing.
I've talked to him. I'm like, you guys are messing up here. Anybody can enter this. It might be a little smelly, but it ain't going to be as bad as that butthole contest.
It's not going to be as bad as that. It's not going to be as like stinky and moist and like, you know, I mean, the butthole thing, would you do it again if they asked you to do another contest?
Mm-hmm. I would do that stuff again because I think it's fun. And it was so much fun coming up with ideas that for the butthole contest, like the videos and stuff. And so it was like my comedy got really good because I was just constantly writing and coming up with videos, like content every day. So yeah, I would love to do one with the feet stuff, man. It's funny.
We got to pitch it.
We got to pitch it. I'm a celebrity foot guy. I go zoom in on the pictures.
Do you go on WikiFeet?
I do. Gypsy Rose got WikiFeet now.
Gypsy Rose is on WikiFeet.
Gypsy Rose got me. Why aren't you guys on that?
Okay, so Gypsy Rose, who just got out of prison, is already on WikiFeet. People are uploading pictures. You've seen them, Jason, correct?
They're not. It's like stocking covered. So they're like, I mean, some people like that, but they'll get. They're coming. I'm telling you guys need to reach out. Get a deal.
I already sent a message.
I'm trying so hard. She's so like, I think she's got a great personality. Mm-hmm. I think she would absolutely kill it.
Mm-hmm. She would. And the thing is like, so Gypsy Rose got a WikiFeet. And I was just like, how long is that going to take? And it was days. Like because I watched from the release to the WikiFeet and it was like a day.
Oh my God. And so from what you've seen so far of Gypsy Rose's feet, like how would you rate them?
I think 8 of 10, you know, but I'm weird with it. So like, I like some janky too. So my celebrity foot crush right now is Tia Mowry from Tia and Tamara.
Sister.
Yeah. Tia's single. She got bunions. Right. And like, they're all like, but I like it. And she shows them off. Like Tia don't give a crap. Like if you go look at Tia's Instagram, the dogs are out. She don't care. You know, and her sister, Tamara, because you know they're genetic and they both got the bunions, right? Tamara's a little more conservative with it. And I think her husband's on Fox News or something. Like, he's like, you need a show. But Tia.
I'm crying. That was you know what I think? That's the most unexpected thing I've ever heard. That was not
the name I thought you would bring up. As far as celebrities go in that, like,
That's insane. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I'm never watching Sister the same again.
Now, I got into a feud with Jessica Simpson last year. And so, dead serious, Jessica Simpson tried to get me canceled on TikTok for making fun of her feet. First off, let's just be honest. Okay, if you own a shoe line, Jessica Simpson owns a shoe line. They got to be perfect.
Yeah.
I said, hey, these are little janky guys. And the foot fans from Jessica Simpson came after me tagging her. And they were like, I saw her feet, the Duke says. And I'm like, no, motherfucker, those were stump feet.
Oh, my God. Like, that's absolutely insane to me that there's actually a group of people that are a fan of her feet.
Fans.
Like, what?
Well, that's big feet.
Oh.
That's little feet when she lost the weight.
Yeah, I don't know about those feet. So let me ask you this.
Just finger toes.
Who is your least favorite foot person? Like ugliest feet in the industry?
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton?
Gotta look those.
Look at them.
Sorry.
Gotta see this.
Too many tendons or something going on. I don't know. She looks like a foul basketball. I don't know.
Oh my God. So
Wendy Williams got some rough stuff too.
I believe that. I get that vibe. Sometimes I can like look at someone and tell like two things, if their feet are nice or if they have a big or small dick.
Oh, they curl.
Yeah, she has huge feet. Do you like big feet? Oh, yeah, no.
Look at that.
Dinosaur feet. Just kidding. But we love Paris Hilton here at Unfiltered. We love you, Paris.
Yeah, this ain't a dig because some people are into that. It's just my preference.
Yeah. So, like, your perfect foot, a little janky, size, big, small. What are you looking
for? A lot of it's personality based. I like snooky toes. I like snooky feet.
Ooh.
But I like my snooky a little bigger. I know she's all fit and in shape, happy for her health wise. I'm like a little pump snooky myself, but I like the feet.
Yeah.
I like the feet. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. That's amazing. And so, speaking of health, you just recently kind of went on a health journey. You dropped some weight, didn't you? How is that?
I did. I lost like 75 pounds, almost 100 now, actually.
Did you do Ozempic?
No.
Really?
No, I didn't do Ozempic. I did diet and exercise. And I almost died. So like I got really sick, went to the hospital and almost died. And I got almost 300 pounds. I got really depressed. So when I quit alcohol, I just traded alcohol for food.
Oh.
So it was like I just traded one addiction for another. And I just started like eating. I was eating $30 on White Castle.
That's a lot of diarrhea.
And I literally almost killed myself, eating myself to death. And so I just said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. And I made a decision to like drop the weight and just kind of made that my priority.
That's amazing. I admire that so much. I was on Ozempic, so, and I lost a little bit of weight and now I'm off of it and now I can't stop eating. So
my doctor tried to put me on that and I'm like, you know what? I'm lazy. And if I take the Ozempic, I'm always going to do that. And then I'm never going to eat right.
Yeah. It doesn't change your habits and it's not, you know, it's not making you,
it's not a permanent fix.
Yeah. It's not making you establish good habits to do long-term, which I think is the problem, but you know,
it's hard traveling too. So if you travel and you're trying to like stay in good shape, hard to do. Yeah. It's not easy to do.
And I'm sure in Austin, like the food must be amazing.
Everything's brisket. Like they got brisket, brisket tacos, brisket everything. And so yeah, it's hard. It's hard to not just gut stuff yourself.
It has to be tough. I also think that Texas is like the number one most obese state in the United States.
Smokers and big people. Yeah, some big people and big people that smoke.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Even the butthole.
Oh, we got to test that theory.
I want to do one here. I want to do a butthole contest in Texas, but I don't think the all nude thing. I don't think they do all nude.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be careful with like the rules because, you know, we're filming stuff too. So I feel, okay, I actually have one more butthole question because I'm really, I value your opinion as a butthole expert so much, Jason. You have
a butthole connoisseur.
Yeah. And also feet now. Like I'm going to ask you so many questions, even like in the future. So in the state, which state do you think has the nicest buttholes? Like would have the nicest buttholes and which would you think has the nastiest?
I'm gonna say Florida. Yeah. I'm gonna say Miami's got the nicest buttholes. Okay. There ain't no way that Florida doesn't have the nicest buttholes. You got Miami right there. You got the beach. I'd say California is a close second.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just gonna be honest. There's probably some nasty all natural. See, I don't like the all natural. Clean it, polish it up. Mm. I have a brand sponsorship with Bright Targeted Skincare for dark buttholes. Ooh. Yeah, I've had a brand sponsorship for about 4 months now with a at-home butthole whitening company. So it's like, and like, I'm just going to tell you, a lot of people who follow me, they're from Florida. And so Florida buttholes.
Wow.
I would say the nastiest butthole would probably have to be Mississippi.
Oh.
They don't call it Dirty South for a reason.
I agree. I'm just surprised you didn't mention like Connecticut, you know?
East Coast is good. East Coast handles their shit. You know they do. I'm from the East Coast. I lived in the upstate New York. I lived in the Adirondacks for a long time. And that Adirondack butthole isn't nothing to scoff at, all right? But in the scheme of like the, you know, the prettiest ones are in Florida, California. I mean,
You know, I don't take any offense. Like, I know my shit. I know my shit.
You're like, literally.
Yeah. I take pictures of it for Unfiltered. I get a lot of compliments. I used to have a hemorrhoid problem like 4 or 5 years ago. And
she used to ask me to check her scars. How's this look?
She checked my hemorrhoid scars.
We've been best friends since high school, so it's fine.
It was really bad. Anybody out there who's like got hemorrhoids on your butthole,
I'll give it a look. I'll let you know how.
She'll check them out for you. And maybe you can too. Maybe we can open up a new business and just anal inspectors. That would be amazing.
It's funny, the people that you connect with. I connected with another fart lady just like you. Do you ever seen Laura Juicy?
Yes. Yes, I did on TikTok.
She's like my friend. She's like, we're really cool. We do a lot of content together for the Butthole Whitening Company. Oh. So like, she'll make a video and then I'll reach out and then like, hey, I'm going to say some stuff about your butthole. Like, are you good with it? Yeah, we collaborate a lot.
That's so beautiful. I love that. I love the people that you meet in like the weird niches that we're in, you know, in the fart community, the feet community, the curly hair community. We've got all these communities and we just all come together. It's a beautiful thing. I want to finish off this chat with you and bring it back to the comedy, because I think being a comic is one of the bravest fucking things you can do, because scary to put yourself out there like that in front of so many people and risk potentially flopping and like people don't like you. So like, is it scary for you? How do you get over nerves? How do you deal with all that?
So let's go to the worst experience I ever had. So last year I got hired to do this winery and I wasn't told that it was clean, but I can do the clean stuff. I don't do it very often, but I can do it. They didn't tell me. So then I have this song that I wrote called Butt Stuff is Fun Stuff. Please butt stuff my hole. and so I get in front of 400 people. It's packed. And I'm like, can I tell you guys a dirty joke? And the audience is like, yeah, do it. And I'm like, I don't think I can do it. And so they were like, do it. So I sang this song I wrote about butt stuff. And the crowd went nuts. But the owner of the winery was like, no. And so then I go outside and I'm just like chilling out, just trying to calm down because I did good. And this lady was like, you're the most disgusting human I've ever met. And this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It wasn't funny. And it was hard because like I had done pretty well. I'm asking my wife, I'm like, did I bomb? And she's like, no, they loved you. But it was a clean show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I'm like, everybody's on this show holding back, right? I was the only one that didn't know what was
going on. Oh, my God. Was there ever a situation where, like, the crowd was just terrible and, like, not vibing with it?
I've had it happen a lot. I bombed in front of 600 people before it happens, because sometimes you say something and you can just say it the wrong way. Right? Like the way you said it in front of those people at that moment in time was perfect. Right? And it's hard to sometimes replicate that. And I think that's where like comedians get like what killed last night. Well, it's like, that was that moment in time. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to recreate that moment again. So when you say something and you're like, oh, it's going to hit me. And then it doesn't. You're just like,
that would traumatize me. And I don't think I would be able to ever go back on after that.
I've had it happen and like, but I'm like on the internet too. I'm pretty honest with the fan base. Like, hey, like I've been doing this 10 years. Like these people that have, I'm doing this 3 years. So it may not be, but even those guys, I've seen like the big pros, but I watched a pretty big headliner bomb in front of 3,000.
Oh my God. Who? I need to know.
I won't say it. Cause I want to work. I'll offline. I'll tell you, but it was like, I felt so bad for that person because it was a whole theater and it was the Chicago theater sold out.
Okay, guys, do your digging. Chicago theater, big venue, not funny.
I'm just saying it happens to everybody. So it's like, the thing is once you understand that it's going to happen to Rogan and it's going to happen to you. Now there's things you can do to mitigate that, like being able to handle something when it falls flat. You know, but that's why I'm glad I went to Chicago first, and I made a ton of mistakes in Chicago, and now I'm down here, and I've done all like a lot of the lessons I needed to learn. I learned there, and I'm here now. But a lot of people just come to these major markets like here, and they've never gone to like LA, or they've never gone to New York, or they've never done those things. And it's like, I feel bad because here, like even when I did Mothership, I was completely comfortable. I was at Joe Rogan's club. I crushed.
Beautiful menu too. Like it's intimate, but it's all the rooms. Like,
you know what it is? It's the timer in the back.
Yeah.
It was the timer in the back of the room, because the open mic, you audition for the booker, you get 3 minutes. That's it.
Oh my God.
That's not even time to really get something off the ground. So you have to have had some experience. Like if you want to get noticed, you've had to have some experience. A Laugh Factory open mic, 3 minutes. So for 2-3 years, I've been doing Laugh Factory open mic every week. And I'm used to that 3 minutes. Well, a lot of these guys aren't used to that. So our girls, they'll get down there and they'll choke. And so I think like it's Kill Tony's a minute.
1 minute. How 60 hard
seconds.
How much can you fit in a minute, or can you convey this one joke with a punchline that
I've already got it planned out, what I'm gonna do, what I'm said, got it timed down to the minute because you have to.
Yeah. I can't wait to see you on it. I watch every Monday religiously. Like
it's so cool. Wait,
it's amazing hang, to watch people gain opportunity out of it. So
the hang to meet people is the best thing ever for Kill Tony. I've never experienced anything like that. You have people from all over the country just try. It's like American Idol for comedy.
It is.
And you're just like, holy shit. Like I met a guy that did it last week. It was his first time doing comedy.
So when are you going to be doing it? What's the date of the show?
I'm going back again on Monday. And you just, but like I said, down here, that playing field is leveled now. So people can get good. And so like, down here, 100,000 followers don't mean nothing because there's people that have that. So like, you just kind of got to wait till your number gets drawn and get noticed. Like I've been trying to do things like to get noticed by people. Like I just did a show with Casey Rocket.
I love Casey. So I met him when we were down there. Casey is hilarious.
Crazy. Like, yeah. It's animal.
That stage is, I have a photo with him. He was awesome.
Yeah. He's an animal. And so, you're down here with those just titans.
they all have their own unique everything. Like David Jolly, Cam Patterson, David Lucas with the I love them all so much. They're all
yeah, I met all those guys. I didn't meet David Lucas, but I met Cam, and I met David Jolly was the host of the open mic, and he's like, boy, you nasty.
King Violet.
You get up there and just like, boy, you nasty.
We actually remember we met him one night, we took a photo with him, we hung out like for a few, and then the next night, Mike and Heather, like he knew, he remembered us and he introduced us to whoever else he was with. And he was real cool. He was real cool.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I want to go down to Austin and check out a show.
You need to. It's so cool. And like that comedy Mothership is so impressive because it's a well-oiled machine, but it's like sold out. Mm-hmm. And so like, but that all of the other comedy shows eat because that's always sold out. So people are going to like the Sunset or the other clubs. And so it's like, it's pretty cool. It's a lot cooler than the Chicago comedy scene. And the Chicago comedy scene is cool as shit. But this is pretty cool.
All right. Well, we're coming down. We're going to go see you. And
oh, heck yeah.
This better happen.
You're coming to see the dog. Come
on. I'm coming to see the dog. Coming to see Bobby.
Bobby, we want to see you too. Bring him to the show. But Jason, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You have so many exciting things going on. So let us know. Let the audience know, where should they follow you? What are your socials?
You follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Poopy Turds McGee. Well, Poopy Turds McGee 1.5 on TikTok because I keep getting kicked off. And so I keep rebuilding it every time.
So unjust.
I've been kicked off of TikTok 4 times.
Shit. And you come back. You're like the fucking Terminator.
We do. You know what it is? We save all of our content. Like we edit. Melissa edits all that stuff. So like she's a content editor. And so my wife's a videographer. So when we started this, my wife's like, I'm going to learn how to edit videos and take pictures and do all this stuff. So like we do this together. And so we've got a surplus of those videos. So like if anything goes down, we can pop again. We have measures in place.
You're ready to go. And you know, the things you say, it's like every word is there for a reason because it's there to really like grab the audience. You're the master of hooks, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. which which is really amazing to see. I thought I was pretty good. And then I watched your like reels and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, like he's so fucking good.
People don't know the hours that might, the dumbest video about somebody pooping on my chest might take about 6 hours to write or 4 days.
That's crazy. And let me ask you this. Cause like sometimes I'll like kind of like make up stuff. Like are your stories factual? Like, did they really happen?
Everything's an element of truth. Some of the stuff might be somebody else's story.
Yeah.
But you know, being in the military is a degenerate culture, right? Degenerate culture. And it's guys and girls just telling nasty stories all day. Mm-hmm. And so like I have my stuff, but then I also have 20 years in the military of other people's like stuff. So I have like hours of material, but all the stuff in Mississippi is true. Everything, if you've watched anything, I start talking about Mississippi, that woman's real. She's very upset. And I never used her name or anything. But the Mississippi, it was one person, not multiple people. And she's very angry. She's married a pastor.
Oh my God. This is,
found God.
This is wild. This has probably been like the wildest podcast episode. And we've covered a lot of topics. You're like a truly fascinating person. And I have so much admiration for you. I can't wait to see more of what you do in the comedy scene. And hopefully we get to go see a show soon in Austin.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Getting tickets to go down again next time they go on sale for Austin. Name's going in the bucket. I'm doing it. My boyfriend's doing it. I don't know if I'm going to try. I'm going to put in an effort.
I was sitting to at Kill Tony gets called, right? He'd never done comedy before. And he's like, but I think I got this. And I just getting him pumped up. I'm like, you got this. Get it. And I'm like, if this guy comes back, he's buying everybody shots. And he comes back and he's like, they're really mean to me. And
I'm like, roasted him then. That's funny.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. Like you have to run across the street. So they keep all the comedians at a bar across the street. And this kid runs and sprints from the mothership over. And they call your name, and then you literally run, and you run and go right on stage. So there's no, like, you have to know what you're going to say before you say it, or you better hope you wing it. But that's why people, I think, struggle sometimes, is when you see them go through the curtain, they just sprint across the street.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like they're set up for failure.
I'm making you watch the episode I went to.
My friend Tina ran across the street in heels.
Oh my God. It sounds like I'd have an anxiety attack. I could never, I could never do this.
Hot down there.
I'll stay online. I'll stay on Unfiltered. How about that?
But I will be there again on Monday, waiting in the line. Actually, I'll be at Mothership again tomorrow, waiting in the line. Cause there's only,
you get there like 4:30. You can wait in the wait list. There's like guys that get there that camp out in their chairs. They're awesome. They're there every day.
Yeah. It's wild. And it's just, and it's funny because it literally is like a lot of things in comedy are not random when they say they're random. That's random. Random shit. Do not know.
Never know who's going to get up. You never know how they're going to do. And they can bomb the minute and do great. While they're interviewing them, sometimes people just bounce off of questions really well. Some people, they roast them hard, and it is the best thing I've ever seen.
My friend from Detroit moved down here, and she did Kill Tony one time, and it changed her life.
Really? Who is
it? Genevieve.
Why do I know that name? I'm sure I know her.
Big black female, big afro.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
So she's like well known now.
Yeah. No, I've like literally seen every episode.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she works there, and so like that's actually what got us moved down here. When we were moving to a different market, I decided to go to the Chicago route instead of coming down here. And our friends moved down here first. And so it was just different paths. They had been doing comedy longer than I had. I hadn't been doing it that long. And like, I wanted to go do the Laugh Factory and stuff like that and get that stuff under my belt. Zanies and stuff like that.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Jason, 2024, we're going to do a Prettiest Butthole tour.
Please.
I'm putting it out there in the universe so that it happens, so we can manifest it.
We need to do this. It needs to happen.
It needs to happen.
Bright said they would sponsor it.
That's perfect. All right.
Dude White just sponsored me too.
That's amazing.
That's you've got the hair care products on lockdown. You got the anal bleaching products. It's pretty amazing.
Who is that cutout that you're?
Yeah.
It's David Boreanaz.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he goes everywhere. He's my guardian angel.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Like, I'm not gay, but I would have sex with David Boreanaz. I'm just not. Yeah. If there was a guy that it would happen with, David.
Damn.
Angel.
He's handsome, handsome man.
Isn't he?
I had a cardboard cutout of Keanu Reeves in my house for a while until he broke in half. And then
you used to drive around with it.
I was lonely. I was going through something. It was bad.
David has been with us for as long as we've been married. So like every military move, everywhere I've gone, but he's been in a couple of the viral videos. So I'm like, David's good luck. He's
oh my God. He's just always watching over you. It's beautiful. I love it.
He is that piercing stare.
How are the feet? Does it have feet, the cutout?
Yeah, but he's wearing boots.
Fuck.
I just can't believe how many men want my feet.
I'm curious about them.
I mean, they're small. I have small feet for a man. I wear size 6.5 for a dude.
Shut up, really? I wear size 6.
Well, it's
men. Melissa and I can wear the same shoes.
Well, that's good. We can swap shoes.
We can swap Birkenstocks. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. I can lend you my Crocs. Awesome. All right, Jason. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us and chatting with us about everything you have going on and getting really, really unfiltered with us.
Thank you.
This was super fucking unfiltered.
It really was.
Yeah.
But hey, I got an unfiltered question though. So like, because people do ask for stuff and Melissa and I were talking about it and it's like, are there people that do just boudoir stuff?
I do. And I don't do explicit. And I made 3 grand 2 months ago. Like it was a busy month for me and I was consistently posting and doing all my, I do boudoir and I've never put my butthole on the internet. I draw the line there, set it to my boyfriend on my first date with him. Like, that's where I draw it. It's just no butthole for me on the internet. You know, I like to keep that to myself and a few others.
I've seen it. Because we did boudoir pictures a long time ago when I was a bigger guy and they were very popular.
Oh,
very popular, but we didn't use a platform. I just took Cash App and these women from the Curl Forum were like, hey.
Oh my God.
And, but they were never nude. They were like my wife, photographer.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if I would be willing to do something like that again, because it's fun and it's funny and I can share those, you know, but I just got it. There's people that want the stuff and I'm comfortable enough. I just don't want to be, I don't want my nudes of me out there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You don't have
to swinging dick around Reddit forums.
You can.
And I don't like want to interact with people. Like, yeah. I don't want to be like flirting with dudes and stuff like that or other women, or I don't want to do that. But
you want to sext with people basically.
No, I don't want it. Cause I have friends that do stream and like, they're always doing all the sex.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I'm being 100% transparent with you, there is a market for you and what you do for sure. I think that you should definitely try it out. I mean, if you have already the content, it's just sitting there collecting dust. Let's try it out.
Yeah, because it's like people ask for it. I mean, it is insane.
Yeah.
Boys are not shy.
Yeah. And honestly, we can get you started with like a $99 VIP subscription level and all of like your biggest fans that like worship you can go and join this VIP level and like,
and make it like a Patreon almost.
And
like,
we can get you a chatter.
Yeah.
We can get you someone who will do all of the dirty
help
talk.
Manage that stuff. So you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also because is there some AI chatbot that'll sex back with somebody?
Pretty much. If anybody here is a fan of Jason listening, you did not just hear that. There is no AI chatbot on his page.
Never.
It's him.
Never.
You're talking to him.
Yeah, always.
Always. The real deal.
Love it. Yeah, it is. But it is funny. Like, it's funny when the women reach out, it's totally different. Like, when women reach out, it's never sexual. It's just like, hey, I want to see your butt.
That's
and it's not like I want to have sex with you. I just want to see it.
Yeah, they're right to the point.
But the men
on the waist.
The men are like Zaddy.
What? Wow. That's wild. You would think it's the opposite. You'd think it's like the women wanting to like sweet talk you.
No, I did. I mean, when you host a butthole contest and you're sponsored by an at-home butthole whitening company that uses men in their advertising, you know, and I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm comfortable and I'm inclusive. I don't want anybody to like my comedy. I don't want anybody to feel, I don't want you to be offended, but I don't want you to be offended at like gender stuff or sexual crap. I don't care. You know, I don't, I'm, political stuff and that stuff I leave alone. I don't even really talk about.
I like that a lot. Cause it's like, it's been so much comedy nowadays, like especially like the super mainstream comedy. And it's like exhausting sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't need to fucking know like your political stance on this and to hear the same fucking joke about, you know, gender neutrality that I've heard a million fucking times over. Like,
yeah, nobody cares about that stuff. At least I don't anyway. And you know, like I'm super comfortable and I think a lot of stuff is funny that maybe some people wouldn't think is funny. So no,
I think it's hilarious. I just love that like your comedy, it kind of reminds me, I forget the guy's name, but it's like you never know what the next thing you're going to say is. It's like it's unpredictable. The story could go fucking anywhere, you know. That's the kind of comedy that I like.
Yeah. No, like.
Yeah. I like, and it's been around here too. There's a lot of like, what they call, alt comedy. So like there's alternative comedy, which is kind of what I would be considered. Casey would be considered as alternative comedians. It's not like, you know, the other day I went to the bus stop and you know, it's not like that. And so down here, there's more of that, like where it's not scripted, but it's just different. It's not set up, punchline, tag, tag, tag. It's like super technical, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a storyteller.
I love it. I love it. And you've got an amazing story. That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. Jason, we'll talk to you soon. We're getting you signed up on Unfiltered shortly after this.
Yes.
Let's do it.
So you'll be able to find him on Unfiltered, link pending. Boom! Oh my God, for free? Come on!
Charge for that.
We got to charge for that.
Nipples on the house. All right.
All right, Jason. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Take care.
Bye. Bye.